Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul here. Thank you for tuning in. Hope your Tuesday's going well. Jor is back tomorrow.
She's just a small town girl.
Sorry, Steve. Didn't mean to step on you there. Before I do anything, next time you hear a Journey tune, and it could be any time between now and 6 o'clock when they finally push me out of the studio against my will, next time you hear Journey, call in. Caller number 4 will win 2 tickets to Journey and the Pretenders, June 7th of next year, Xcel Energy Center, one of the biggest concerts of 2020, and you will be there. But all you need to do is listen and call in. Caller number 4. Also, we're giving away tickets all week. Dave Lee has a couple of tickets every day, and so does Chad Hartman. So stay tuned. A little bit of snow in the forecast. And, you know, I remember putting little ones on a school bus and waiting and wondering and holding my breath and hoping that everything would be just fine. And thankfully, there were never any mishaps with the school bus with my kids. But you hold your breath, especially every winter. And now comes news, again, Star Tribune reporting nearly 1 in 8 school buses operated by First Student, which is Minnesota's biggest student transportation company, failed to meet state safety standards this year, 1 in 8. And that failure rate of 12% exceeded the statewide average of 9%. First Student was given 14 days to make repairs on 143 buses. And under state law, every school bus has to be checked, has to be inspected once every year. You have some experience with this, right?
Well, yeah, I've never driven a school bus, but I do have a license to drive a bus like a school bus. I just don't have the school bus endorsement, but I have the CDL license and mm-hmm. the passenger endorsement. And just, you know, from my experience, the bar is very high. There is a lot of safety checks, and particularly for schools, you have to go through all this training to get a license. Then you have to get a passenger endorsement. Then you have to get a separate school bus endorsement. So, you know, yes, we should fix those buses. That's not a good thing. But I think we can all be a little bit assured in that there is a very high bar of safety when it comes to school buses.
Sure, and I appreciate that. And I know every parent appreciates that. But I think it is good to be paranoid when it comes to the safety of our kids. So 141 buses have been pulled out of 1,160 from First Student's fleet until these repairs are addressed. The other story that's trending is, oh my God, it's going to snow. Oh.
When does the snow start, like here in the South Metro, Paul?
In the South Metro, it'll be after about 9 or 10 o'clock.
So where is that storm right now?
It's showing up on Doppler just to our south and west. And thank you for asking. A little bit of snow now, St. James and Marshall and Redwood Falls and New Ulm, Minnesota River, already seeing some light flakes. And it's going to pick up through the evening. Should be after rush hour this evening in the metro. So if there's any glimmer of good news, it's not going to interfere with a rush hour today. Tomorrow morning, thinking a coating to an inch in the Twin Cities, best chance of an inch, Lakeville and Woodbury. Northern suburbs may not see much at all. Maybe a dusting, quarter inch of snow. And 2 to 4 once you get down around Rochester, Fairmont, closer to I-90.
So you said down in that St. James, kind of the south,
southeast
of here. Let me try to dial up. Oh, yeah, southwest of here. I think that's what it sounds like down there right now. That's a live report from the storm that's on its way.
That was our ex-traffic report. Was that Jerry? Do we have Jerry on the highways now? JP.
It's coming. Everyone's freaking out. The snow's coming.
All right. Dave, I told you to break the tablet in half, but I know you're having fun with special effects. Hopefully, hopefully we will not have any of that. But, yeah, you know, first snow of the season, everybody needs to get their snow legs back and remember how to drive on slush. And so, yeah, plan a little extra time tomorrow morning. Leave extra space between you and the vehicle in front of you. Leave extra time. Slow down. Yada, yada, yada. We've heard this before. We're going to get through this. The other story, of course, is tied in with Coach Fleck. And you've heard this if you've been listening to CCO this afternoon, listening to Laura and listening to Chad. Coach Fleck, 7-year contract extension through 2026, and $4.6 million. And it was interesting, Nadine Babu, possibly the biggest Gopher booster out there, so I don't know how she got this, but she got some of the incentives that Coach Fleck can get if he wins the Big Ten championship, $150,000. A win or a tie for the championship of a Big Ten football division, $100,000. Coach of the year by a nationally recognized organization, $100,000. Let's see, $300,000 college football national championship. If the Gophers participate in a college football playoff semifinal, that's worth an extra $200,000 to Coach Fleck. So, wow. Hey, nothing succeeds like winning. And yeah, the Gophers having the best season since 1941, 8-0 playing Penn State on Saturday. And yes, I'm torn. And it is possible, in theory, to root for more than one team. Not simultaneously, but I've been saying this all week when Corey Heppele gives me a hard time, as he should. I am a Gophers fan. I love what the Gophers are doing, and I love what P.J. Fleck is doing. And yeah, I root for the Gophers. I didn't have the privilege of going to the University of Minnesota. I was not born here. I was born in Pennsylvania, went to Penn State. Root for Penn State when they play the Gophers. That said, if we lose to anybody, I would want it to be the Gophers. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a good game. And Corey Heppele started this whole thing, hey, let's raise some money for the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital. And they're going to be contributing some money. He found, who was it again? Purim.
Yeah, actually, Paul, I think you started this. We offered Corey a bet, and that's what stands
out. Did
I
start this?
Yeah, you started this, and you'll be providing some ice cream to Corey if the Gophers win.
And
Corey's going to kick in some candy from KLM Family Brands.
That's it.
KLM jumped in and said, we can donate some money. So that's kind of where we're at now. But I think we're going to be able to raise even more money.
That's right. I mean, I'm putting in $500. For my companies, and let's see, Matt Michelson, who we're going to have on at 5:10 from Motorworks BMW, putting in $500. And the one and only, John Schuster, he is stepping up as well. Hey, John, how you doing?
Paul, doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. Look, we're trying to raise a little money and make sure no matter what the score is on Saturday, and we hope for a close game, that kids at the Masonic Children's Hospital benefit. And I understand that you and your partner, Bonnie Willick, who sold my home, are big Gophers alums. And in
Gopher alums, you called us this morning, asked for some help on your side of the bet with Penn State. And you know what, Paul? We had to back you up. We are coming in. And I'm going to be rooting for the Gophers. But if Penn State wins, we are going to cover it. And we are going to do $100 over any win that they take, should they beat the Gophers, which we want the Gophers to win.
Absolutely. So you're going to do $100 for every point that the Gophers beat Penn State by, or $500 if Penn State wins in that unlikely event?
So any, anything that Penn State, we're taking Penn State on your side on this one. So if Penn State should happen to win, we will contribute $100 per point over the score of the Gophers. But we're hoping the Gophers win. If the Gophers take it, which we're truly rooting for, we're going to give $500 regardless. We're going to give it to the kids in the Masonic Children's Hospital, and we're super excited that you're getting us in your sports gambling.
I expect the authorities to show up any moment. Hey, John, thank you, and thank Bonnie, and our thanks to the John Schuster Group and what you folks do out there. Thank you for stepping up, my friend.
Well, we're excited to watch the game, and go Gophers!
It's going to be a good game, maybe a little too good. Thanks, John.
You take care.
Thank you, sir. So have you signed up for Apple Plus and streaming? Tim Lammers has a couple of programs that caught his eye on this new service. He's up next.
Paul and Jordana.
8 seconds to you. Cue her.
Good morning. I'm bringing you some sad and upsetting news. And while I don't know the details of the allegations...
She's throwing me under the bus.
Mitch Kessler, my co-host and partner of 15 years, was fired today.
You!
Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, high-powered cast for The Morning Show on Apple TV. Tim Lammers, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. It's ironic that you're teeing this up. There's no football tonight, so I was actually going to sit down with my wife and watch episode one of The Morning Show, which has gotten kind of mixed reviews. Did you like it, Tim?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, Paul. I mean, you're right. I am shocked at all the bad reviews. There's actually bad reviews of the thing. I don't think that's the case at all. I can't say that I love the show. I like it so far. Certainly the first two episodes are very compelling. Then I think the show goes off the rails a bit. But to set it up from that clip, what you got basically is a situation that mirrors the Today Show situation a couple of years ago, where the anchor, the male anchor, is removed from the air over sexual misconduct allegations. That anchor is played by Steve Carell. Jennifer Aniston is the female anchor who's left just stupefied at what's going on. She can't believe that this guy she sat with for 15 years, you know, could be capable of doing such things. So, you know, it feels like it's ripped from the headlines. It still feels fresh because obviously, you know, the Matt Lauer situation came back into the news cycle lately.
Right.
Then something happens at the end of the second episode that is totally implausible. And I'm disappointed because it felt so real for those first two episodes. And then they present us with a situation that kind of makes the whole thing look silly. Now, having said that, you're going to love the acting. Jennifer Aniston, I haven't seen her like this before. She is amazing in this dramatic role. She's unhinged, practically. She drops a lot of F-bombs. This is not your friend, Jennifer Aniston. And Steve Carell, he leaves you debating. What is going on with this guy? I mean, he's saying that, you know, the relationships were consensual. Were they? I mean, he seems like a good guy. They paint him like he's a good guy, but is there more we're going to learn about this guy? So the show has me curious. It makes me want to see more episodes to see how this thing plays out.
Well, in the era of Me Too, it seems like this is more timely than ever. And I'm going to muscle through it and watch it. And there's another one that I am just as intrigued. It's more apocalyptic, set in the future, 600 years in the future after a virus has decimated humankind and the entire population is blind. This one on Apple Plus, Apple TV, is called C.
Centuries from now, almost all humans have lost the ability to see. Some say sight was taken from them by God to heal the earth. For the few who remain, vision is only a myth. But after so many years, the power of sight has returned.
Jason Momoa looks pretty amazing in this. What do you think? Does this exceed the morning show?
Yeah, I really like Jason Momoa. You know, it all depends. It's a different genre. It depends what you're into. I think I personally like the morning show better than this one. Okay. That's not to say this is a bad series by any stretch. I think that if you're into the science fiction, the dystopian future, the guy that directed the last couple Hunger Games episodes, Francis Lawrence, directs this. It feels like it's a lot of tribal warfare, and the big play is here. We have these centuries of people that are blind, but now a pair of twins are born and they have sight, which will change the world order. So that's where the story is. Again, some silliness in it, but I'm waiting for the story to play out. Again, these shows, they run quite a few episodes. So there's a lot more story to tell, and there's not much you can get from a couple or even three episodes.
Apple doesn't have a lot of shows yet, but it seems like they're investing big money, but you don't have nearly the variety that you do with a Netflix or a Hulu, right?
Right. Well, certainly in terms of original programming, you know, right now they have six new series off the bat. They have some movies in the works. One, the trailer debuted today. It's a movie with Samuel L. Jackson and Anthony Mackie that's coming out later this month. But, you know, they're ramping up. I mean, obviously, they have movies for purchase, for streaming that way. They have reruns like everybody else. They acquire shows. But, yeah, I mean, we're starting the streaming wars now, you know. It's really going to be a challenge for all these streaming services to come up with new original programming to make people want to, you know, spend the $5 a month,
right,
or $6 a month in order. You know, so right now, I mean, they're banking a lot on the success of The Morning Show and C. They have another show about Emily Dickinson with Haley Steinfeld, another a space drama called For All Mankind.
Yep.
So, you know, I will be talking about those programs because, again, I'm excited about this new original programming and the, you know, the availabilities that they, you know, Apple TV Plus puts forth.
It's an arms race. Good time to be a showrunner or a TV producer, I guess.
It does seem like a lot of opportunities,
yeah,
doesn't it, Paul? And it's only going to get bigger here in a week when Disney Plus debuts.
Boy,
so
oh boy.
That's going to be fun, and we'll be talking about that next week.
Absolutely. Tim, thank you. We'll catch you on Friday, as always. Appreciate you weighing in here on streaming.
All right. Thank you, Paul. We'll talk with you Friday.
You bet. That was the one and only Tim Lammers. Who is brought to you by Brad John Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. When we come back, kudos to Krispy Kreme for doing the right thing. And I'd like some wings with a side of racism. What happened at Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville, Illinois? Had me shaking my head in disbelief. That's coming up next.
And Jordana.
So, let's give credit where credit is due. Yesterday, we leaned a little bit on Krispy Kreme for shutting down Jason Gonzalez of Champlin, who had a little business, a little hustle on the side. He would drive to Iowa, pick up boxes of Krispy Kremes and bring them up and resell them. And Krispy Kreme said, nope, can't do that. We got a liability concern. Well, I guess based on maybe some of the negative reaction, some of the negative PR, the coverage, Krispy Kreme reversed course and reached an agreement with Jason Gonzalez. The deal includes a 500 dozen donut donation when he starts up again. The Pioneer Press reporting the 21-year-old a young man also announced the deal on his Facebook page, adding that he's pumped to continue his business. The confectionery giant said in a statement Monday that the, quote, temporary stoppage was to ensure product quality and regulatory compliance. Yeah, I think a lawyer wrote that. Yeah, more legalese, please. And you see some of these stories, and I just, you know, man. Employees at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville. Have you been to Naperville, DJ?
No, I have not.
It's a very nice suburb southwest of Chicago.
Sure.
It's very progressive, well-to-do. I would liken it to a Maple Grove, a Woodbury, an Eden Prairie. Here's the thing. Employees asked a group of adults and kids that included African Americans to move to other tables because a regular patron, I guess a regular, sitting nearby objected to their presence. Now, in defense of Buffalo Wild Wings, the restaurant chain says it has fired two employees. Quote, we take this incident very seriously after conducting a thorough internal investigation, have terminated the employees involved. Buffalo Wild Wings values an inclusive environment, has zero tolerance for discrimination of any kind. Here's the thing. One of the adults posted about this encounter on Facebook, and then it just took off. It went viral, as things of this nature do these days. A group of six adults, 12 kids, boys on the basketball team arrived at this restaurant at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville on October 26th. Most were African American. The party was greeted by a host right away. He was asked what ethnicity was our party. And then it just went from there. While their tables were getting set up, the husband apparently asked the host why their race mattered. Quote, the host responded that a table with two of their regular customers were next to where they were to be seated, and he didn't want us sitting there because he's racist. So he admitted that he's racist, and he didn't want this family sitting next to him. The service manager approached them, told the group the seats were suddenly reserved by a party of 18 that had called in, despite there being no reserve signs on the tables. So the group left, went to Hooters to continue the birthday celebration. Don't you think? I mean, look, if you're racist, really, in 2019, if you still believe that, stay in your basement. Don't go to a restaurant with other people.
It does put that restaurant worker in a tough situation, though, because, look, if you are racist, you get to go to a restaurant and eat food.
Yeah,
right? Like they can't turn down the racist at the door and say, you're racist, you can't eat our buffalo wings. They have to welcome them in.
But,
and then if you know that they're a racist and an African-American comes in, do you intentionally sit them next to each other or do you set them far away just to avoid controversy? I don't know what the right move is, but either way, you're in a sticky situation.
I would ask the racist to stop eating and get up and please eat outside.
Yeah, but I don't think you could do that. I think you get in trouble for that, too.
You can do anything once. Well, you get in trouble for anything. But there's every restaurant, every public gathering should have big signs. All are welcome. Period.
Including racists?
Yeah. But that doesn't give you the right to dictate terms to other people.
No. So, again, if you're the hostess, though, where do you seat the non-white family when you know there's a racist? You see
right
them
next to them.
Right next to them?
Right next to the racist.
Yeah, then you know you're admitting that there's going to be drama and controversy in your restaurant tonight.
And then you ask the racist, if the racist has an issue with that, you ask the racist politely to get up and leave.
Sure, yeah.
And maybe it's comp their meal.
It's a tall task if you're a 15-year-old,
no, I get that.
17-year-old, you know, hostess somewhere.
They may think it's a no-win situation, but you have to...
Yeah.
You have to err on the side of doing what's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
And not giving them an inch.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got? What crossed your plate? Do you have any stories? I'm sorry. Did I ambush you?
You ambushed me.
We're almost out of time here. So
we are. Yeah.
One thing I did see here. You don't have any pets, right? You don't have a cat or a dog yet?
No, I don't. I have a daughter. But no,
that's a good start.
So it's just as much work.
America has a fat cat problem, a fat pet problem. More than, I didn't realize this, more than half of all dogs out there are overweight or obese. But it's even worse among cats. One expert who surveys vet clinics every year found that 60% of cats qualified as obese last year. And of those, more than half were significantly overweight. Might be funny to see the fat cats on Instagram, but fat pets live shorter lives. They're more likely to develop diabetes. Many overweight pets have arthritis, which can make jumping to the floor or even walking painful. a lot of reasons for this. U.S. cats are more likely to live exclusively indoor lifestyles than they used to. So they're not pouncing and chasing and climbing as much as maybe they were a generation ago. When it comes to cats, apparently reducing food intake is more important than exercise. Just give them less food, fewer treats. That's a problem for me because, you know, I don't see my dog as much as I'd like to. And when I get home every evening, one of the first things I do is give him a treat. And it's probably more for me than for the dog because I feel guilty, but I need to cut back on the treats.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I mean, I don't have a pet, but with all the things that are demanding of your time and your attention, is your dog's weight something that's going to make it to the top of the list of things to address today?
If you want your dog to live a full life, to live 10, 12, whatever, however many years... You're right. It's not something we fixate on, but maybe we should. We want to keep our pets around as long as
we
can.
And you need to find easy, sustainable ways to do that. Because if you have to put a bunch of time and effort into keeping your pet healthy every day, chances are you're not going to do it.
I think it may be as simple as just, you know, smaller serving sizes. Just don't give your pet as much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We won't solve the world's problems today. We will try, but these are just some of the stories that caught our eye. Coming up at 4:10, Dave, you and I are going to talk a little bit about screen time. I know you have an 18-month. I have a grandchild on the way, and I'm tempted to spoil that grandchild with screens and iPads and what have you, but it may be the worst thing for them. So more on screen time. Some new studies suggest that you have to be very careful with screen time. 3:47 right now, and that means it's Wicks and Jewelers time. Shop an unrivaled collection of jewelry and watches with an incredible level of personalized service at Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington.
Paul and Jordana.
I am convinced, Dave Josephson, producer extraordinaire, that my wife, my dear wife Lori, overbuys Halloween candies.
On purpose?
On purpose, knowing that, well, we're not just going to throw it out. We have to eat it. It would be a sin not to eat that chocolate.
Yeah, the key there is to make sure you buy something that you also enjoy yourself so that, you know, you can take advantage of the leftovers.
She bought a barrel of the Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, yeah.
I swear we have enough to feed a platoon.
My wife loves, like, the specialty Reese's, like they have the bats or the pumpkins, because the ratio of peanut butter to chocolate is higher.
Really?
And apparently that's better. Because the normal Reese's have more chocolate when they're in the circle like that. But some of the specialty ones have more peanut butter.
You're peanut buttery? More peanut buttery?
Yeah, I don't know if that has a word in there, but yeah, something like that.
Cool. Hey, so if you missed it last night, Jimmy Kimmel, he has a bit that he does every year about, you know, ambushing these poor kids and telling them their parents ate their Halloween candy. And some of their reactions, and I'm sure you've seen this, some of the reactions are priceless. Here's what he had to say last night.
That's the worst Halloween I ever had because of you, dummy, stupid pants.
I ate all your candy.
And got called the police.
I ate it all.
But you can't. Why?
I ate it all because I was hungry.
I'm joking.
Why'd you do that?
Mommy and Daddy ate all of your Halloween candy. Is that okay?
We ate all of your candy. Will you forgive me?
Yes, but don't do it again. It will make your belly sick. You will have to poop all that out. I'm counting on you, Willie.
That's not fair. Juliana.
That's so rude of you. Tomorrow I'm going to eat your stuff. For real. And I'm not going to give you no goodies. Just puppy. That's so rude of you.
I'm really hungry.
Well, you gotta eat some vegetables, not candy. Say sorry.
Last night, I got hungry and I ate all of your Halloween candy.
Oh. You don't eat people's candy.
Mackenzie, Jimmy Kimmel told me to do it.
No, thank you.
Don't
just Jimmy Pickle. That's James Scott.
If I ever seen Jimmy Kimmel, I would punch him in the face.
Why?
He deserves it.
What if I do it again tonight?
I'm going to punch him in the wiener.
Oh, boy. Now it's serious. Oh, Jimmy. That's like one notch below child abuse.
Yeah, it's so good, though.
Yeah. All right. Oh, boy. You haven't done that with Winter, right? You have an 18-month-old. You don't eat her candy.
Well, no, she's not. I mean, yeah, we do, but she doesn't know what's going on. She's only 18 months. She did a little bit of trick-or-treating, and
yeah?
I don't even know if she ate any of it, to be honest, because she doesn't really know what's going on. She had one sucker while we were out, and then, you know, the rest of it went into the candy drawer with all the other candy, and, you know, who knows where it ends up.
Next year, it'll be a bigger deal.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, she will discover.
We'll have to submit a video to Jimmy Kimmel.
The merits of candy. Yes, yes, you will. Jimmy Kimmel. Man, that's cruel, but it is kind of funny.
It's so funny.
Hey, when we come back after the top of the hour, and be listening for Journey. If you want to win Journey tickets, June 7th next year, Journey teaming up with the Pretenders. All you have to do is be caller number 4. Not telling you when you're going to hear that Journey clip, but it's coming up, and I hope you win those tickets. When we come back, Screen Time. How much is too much? Next.
Paul and Jordana.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.